Giants and Jets are going to actually be playing each other this week in preseason, and the third preseason game, they'll have joint practices, each of them with a preseason game this weekend. And certainly to talk about the Giants, the Jets, Daniel Jones getting in there, the first action coming back off of his ACL injury, we bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, Laurie. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's start with, obviously, the big story, one of the big stories, certainly, of the Giants preseason game is they did play a lot of their starters, and in particular on offense. It starts with Daniel Jones, and, you know, coming off the injury, we haven't seen him play in, you know, months, and what did you see? I guess we'll say the good, the bad, and the ugly from Daniel Jones, and, you know, maybe start with the ugly.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of bad and a lot of ugly. He was 11 of 18. Honestly, Lori, he had three drives against the Texans' first-string defense, and I say first-string defense, they didn't even play their top three edge rushers, so 85% of the first-string defense, and it was a three and out and two interceptions, and one was a hideous interception that was a bad decision returned for a pick six in the shadow of his own end zone, and one was an interception going into the Texans' end zone that took points off, possible points off the board for the Giants. And the alarming thing, Lori, is those aren't like, oh, I haven't played in 9 months, I'm rusty mistakes. Those aren't physical mistakes. They're decision-making mistakes. They're the kinds of mistakes Daniel Jones was making last year before he hurt his neck and before he hurt his ACL. So it was kind of a continuation of last year's nightmare. And people say don't overreact to the preseason. And it's like, yeah, okay, you don't have to. They looked great last preseason and they had a bad year. But it certainly is going to make any Giants fan nervous, especially if Daniel doesn't play again this weekend. If that's the only taste of him before week one against the Vikings, I don't know how you could feel good about him. Not physically, but, you know, decision-making, mentally, all those kind of skills that it takes to play quarterback. Physically, he looked fine.
I guess that's the good. I want to take apart those two interceptions because let's start with the second one first. For the second one, can we look at it? Because the first one, we're about to just... Yeah, there's nothing sugar-coated or good you can possibly go with that one. But the second one, can we say that part of what Brian Daboll is wanting from Daniel Jones and what really is a make-or-break year for this quarterback, and at least in the short term, whether he is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, is that they want him to throw the ball down the field, they want him to take more chances, and it's a preseason game, and can you look at that second interception, and while the throw might not be perfect, maybe it should have been a back shoulder throw, maybe he should have led the receiver a little bit more, but second one is at least an aggressive play in the preseason. Can we look at that one that way, and at least there's an explanation?
Yeah, I think, look, he said, Daboll, I was there in Houston, and Daboll said after the game that part of the emphasis of the game was to take some shots downfield, run some play-action passes, see how the offensive line held up, see how Daniel handled some pressure in his face, because you don't get that even in joint practices, and see the separation that these young receivers could create. So, yes, and I don't think that was just a preseason game. That's been the Giants every single day have been at practice, too. Like, this is Daboll. This is what he wants to do. This is part of the reason Saquon Barkley's not here anymore, is because he wanted to be a pass-first, aggressive, down-the-field offense, and that kind of offense doesn't really need a $14 million a year running back. So this is the identity change. I don't think that was just the preseason. I think that's who the Giants are going to be when the season starts. They're going to be offense that sputters but hits some big plays down the field. And that's certainly what was missing. The explosives is what's been missing the last couple of years with Jason Garrett, Mike Kafka, calling the plays. So I think that's definitely what you said. Like, it was a right decision. He found the one-on-one coverage. He threw the ball. he just threw the ball in the wrong place. I mean, you'd like that not to happen, but you can live with that much more right. than the decision he made on the first one.
Yeah, and I can even, as I looked at that play, say the young receiver maybe doesn't fight through it as much as he should. It's a good play by the defensive back. But on that one, I can look at it and go, all right, but now we got to go to the first interception. And the first interception, which the way I would look at that is you're Daniel Jones, you're in your own end zone, and you want to get rid of the ball because you don't want to take a safety there. And it is a panic is really the word that I look at. When I watch that play, when I rewatch that play, I see a quarterback, a player who's panicking. And for a guy going into his sixth year, again, we can say it's the preseason or whatever, but if that were a rookie making that play, aren't we a little bit worried that he panics in that situation?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, you shouldn't even be in that situation. Like, he held the ball too long. He pump faked the throw. Like, it's not just that he was getting dragged down. And even if you are getting dragged down, you have to know, like, okay, 2 points is better than 6 points. So, like, yeah, he did everything wrong on that. And it starts with holding the ball too long. And he, of all people, should know that you can't pump fake and hold the ball forever in your end zone. This whole offense is designed now under Daboll for him to do quick drop, quick step drops, throw the ball, get to the ball to receivers in space. That's the whole point of it, not to have him hold the ball for too long. And he should know. I mean, he's played behind bad offensive lines for 5 years. Now they have a decent offensive line. And you can't blame the offensive line for that interception or for any pass protection yesterday, playing with four of their five starters for three series and three of their five starters for two more series after that. Daniel Jones had plenty of pocket space, plenty of time.
So that leads to the backup quarterback situation. When this is such a question mark year for Daniel Jones, we all know, you can see it in Hard Knocks. We knew it anyway. The Giants did try and trade up for a quarterback. You cannot make the top three teams in a draft trade with you when they also love the top three players that are going there. The Giants decide not to take somebody else beyond those top three. They go with Malik Nabers, a wide receiver who does look like he will be a star. Okay. But they don't bring back Tyrod Taylor. He ends up going to the Jets, deciding he wants to leave for the Jets. How do you end up without a competition at quarterback, a plan B at quarterback? I don't look at Drew Locke and really Tommy DeVito as having, even if there was, I don't know, a Joe Milton III or somebody to develop as a third quarterback that could give Giants fans a hope on a plan B. But it just seems like the overall strategy at quarterback feels flawed.
Yeah, I mean, we saw on Hard Knocks, the most surprising thing to me about Hard Knocks that I learned quarterback-wise wasn't that they were trying to trade up for a quarterback in the first round. Everybody knew that. I reported that. Everybody reported that. It was that they really thought they could get Tyrod Taylor back when free agency started. I knew the lockers cleared out that Tyrod Taylor wasn't coming back. He was so disenfranchised with how he was handled, right or wrong. I'm not going to litigate that. But the fact that he got injured and lost his job to Tommy DeVito, he was very frustrated about that. So the idea that he was coming back to the Giants, I was surprised they thought that was even possible. So they end up with Drew Locke. Drew Locke's going to be the backup quarterback. You know how this works. It's a business. He has $5 million guaranteed. Tommy DeVito's not beating out Drew Locke. So it's going to be him. And how do they not have a young developmental guy? Because, yeah. I mean, they're only going to keep two quarterbacks on the roster. Maybe three, I guess, if it's Tommy DeVito. But that's who Daboll considers his young developmental guy. That's who he sees. They weren't going to waste a late round draft pick when they know their roster, to their credit, they know their roster has a lot of holes. So, like, their last two draft picks were Tyrone Tracy, who's going to get a decent amount of carries as a backup running back, and the sixth round middle linebacker, who, if they had to play a game tomorrow, would be starting because of all the other injuries at middle linebacker. So it's not like they had draft picks to throw around on. Maybe this guy can compete with Tommy DeVito as their third and fourth quarterback. They didn't have that. So they had a guy in DeVito. They had won some games as an undrafted rookie, and they see him for now as their developmental project.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy about the Giants, about preseason games and training camp and the roster. And All right, let's go to something that is a positive, and you alluded to it, the offensive line. And how much of this, you know, what are your expectations? I think for Giants fans, for years now, I've had the conversation with Giants fans where the hope is, could this be the year where a league average, not saying elite, top 10, top 5, league average, is it possible that this is the year they could have a league average offensive line? And you're looking at how much of that possibility, and what are you seeing with new offensive line coach Carmen Brasillo and some of these veterans they brought in?
Yes, this is the year they can have an average offensive line. This is it. Once you this is their best offensive tackle combination of the last 12 years, probably. And once you have tackle figured out, you can kind of figure out the interior. And Andrew Thomas is all pro. Jermaine Eluvenor is an average tackle. There you go. Boom. Pretty good combination. And Runyon, I think, will be an above average guard when he's healthy. The other two spots are question marks. John Michael Schmitz did not play well as a rookie. Everybody's acting like, oh, he's guaranteed to get better. But Evan Neal didn't get any better, so right. Why are we assuming John Michael Schmitz is? Yeah. And Greg Van Roten had a career year last year with the Raiders at 33 or 34, whatever he is. I don't know how duplicable that is, even with the same offensive line coach. But, again, I think league average offensive line is very possible. I mean, they were hideous last year. They allowed 85 sacks.
Yeah.
So they were good in pass protection yesterday. Devin Singletary, the lead running back, had 10 carries for 20 yards. It's small sample size. They're going to need to be a lot better between him, the new fullback, Jacob Johnson, yep. The tight ends. Chris Manhertz is basically a sixth offensive lineman as a tight end. The run game is going to need to be much more productive than 2 yards a carry.
Yeah. All right. On the wide receiving end, so Giants fans getting an opportunity to see a little bit of Malik Nabers. What are you seeing so far now that you're getting to see him against competition? And, you know, if the expectation, I think, amongst Giants fans or the hope is maybe league average for an offensive line with Malik Nabers, he is the hope. Like, can he be the next great wide receiver in the NFL?
I think he can be. Yeah. You know me, I'm not a sugar-coating reporter. I'm not going to tell you Giants stuff is optimistic if it's not. And I think he's fantastic. I really do. I think his on-field play is fantastic. The most impressive thing, I mean, we all, you know, jaws drop over the acrobatic catches or the speed or the hands. The most impressive thing is how open he is. Like, he gets separation. Like, for years, I looked at next-gen stats, and I was like, oh, so-and-so gets 2 yards of separation. Is that good? Is that bad? I don't need next-gen stats. He's open by, like, 4 yards on every snap, 5 yards on every snap. So it makes it easy for the quarterback to throw him the ball because there's always a window. And his attitude is right? Like, after he had a drop yesterday, he was like, talked about, you know, how he doesn't take drops. He doesn't handle drops well. And Dayball told him, well, you're going to need to get over it. And then we saw how he got over it. And he puts it on him to the one-handed play he went up for early in the game. He said, I got to be stronger to the catch. He didn't blame pass interference or say it was a high throw. He said, I got to go up with two hands. I got to be stronger. It's up to the wide receivers to bring that element of explosiveness to the offense. We have to have that. It's a want to. Like, everything he says is right out of the play. Like, all the concerns about his attitude and right now, before any games have counted, he has the total right off-field attitude. So, I think there's a chance he's spectacular, and he'll only get better once they figure out their long-term quarterback situation.
I'm going to give you a good and a bad on the defensive side. On the good, I thought the play of the game, maybe it was the play of the weekend in preseason games, Giants undrafted defensive tackle Elijah Chapman running down a running back to watch a 300-pound man running down a running back and making a tackle. I don't think I'm doing it justice unless people Google it, but describe that. And is this guy, has he made the roster?
Yeah, I think he did. I think that was probably the clincher. He was trending that way anyway. Anybody who doesn't know who we're talking about, please look up my story on NewYorkPost.com and NYPost.com from last week. I wrote a story on him. I mean, he's funny because, like, anybody looks small next to Dexter Lawrence, he looks super small next to Dexter. He is a small tackle. He's like a 5'11", 278 defensive tackle. That's why he didn't get drafted, because people look, he doesn't fit the mold of a defensive tackle. But he's fast and he's strong. Defensive line coach Andre Patterson said Chapman's the strongest guy on the team. The strongest guy on the team with Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas. The strongest guy on the team. He's back squatting like 700 pounds. So you saw some of that speed. You saw some of that strength. He's going to be a pass rusher on the interior for them. I think he's made the team, and I think it's a great inspirational story of a guy who doesn't fit the mold but has the skills, and that's really what NFL scouting is all about.
Yeah, and the other skill that you see is oftentimes, and you saw it on that play, want to. A guy who has a motor that is just, it doesn't matter if it's a running back, you know, don't tell me I can't catch him, that it's a running back downfield. Somebody who has that relentlessness, there's something to that.
Going 16 miles an hour, according to the GPSs, which is pretty good for a man that size.
It really is. So then on the negative side defensively, certainly the secondary has to be a concern for Giants fans. Is the number two cornerback for the Giants on the roster currently, or is that somebody they're going to be scouring the waiver wires?
I think Nick McCloud will play a lot. I just don't know if Nick McCloud is the number two corner, if he's the slot corner, if he's the money backer, because Isaiah Simmons, I mean, he can't do it against in passing situations. Maybe he could be on the field in running situations, but we saw him try to cover John Mechie on that touchdown. And he's going to face faster, better guys than John Mechie in the regular season. So Nick McCloud will play a lot. I just don't know where. So a cornerback will be added. I don't know if it's the number two cornerback or the number three cornerback. Or there will be a number. There will be a cornerback added. Cordell Flott started camp in that job, struggled. Now he's hurt, missing valuable time. They want to give him the job, but as we've seen with Evan Neal on the right tackle, They're not just handing out jobs to draft picks, which is a smart way to go about it. So I think they will definitely look for an upgrade. If not, then I guess they'll go with Cordell Flott. But boy, it is a shaky spot. You asked me my number one concern about the Giants going into the season, before camp it was offensive line, then secondary. Now it's secondary, clearly number one.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post about the Giants. And now let's give the Jets and Jets fans a chance here. So this week is going to be joint practices, Giants and Jets. We know in the case of the Jets, this is such a deep roster. And, well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers played a little bit in preseason game three last year. Do you expect at this point with this deep Jets roster and Aaron Rodgers coming off of the injury, how much do you expect, if at all, Jets starters to play in the game versus getting reps in joint practice?
The last I heard was Saleh and Rodgers are still talking it over. I mean, let's call this what it is, Lori. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to make that decision if he wants to play or not. And you know what? You should let it. It's his Achilles. He's coming off. He's a veteran. He knows what he needs.
Whatever he wants.
Like, yeah. Yeah, whatever he wants. I'm not saying whatever he wants in terms of, you know, personnel decisions or play calling, but if he wants to play, he should play.
I think he's making those too, but that's a different story.
I'm not sure I would let him make those, but I'll let him decide if he wants to play. And it sounds like he would want to play. So, yeah, I'd probably go about it the same as last year.
Let's call it
8 to 10 plays. And if you have a long drive for a score, then you pull him. And if you go three and out, you give him a second series. That's probably what I would do. And I wouldn't let it impact me if I'm the Jets by what the Giants. If the Giants hit their starter, so what?
Doesn't matter.
And Aaron Rodgers' work.
Yep. Now, as you look at joint practice and Jets and Giants, what's a storyline or a position group that you're going to be looking at most this week for the Jets?
The must-see matchups are going to be the two wide receiver cornerback battles. Yep. I mean, on both sides. Like, Sauce Gardner, Malik Nabers, I got to see it. It's awesome. I can't wait. I mean, Sauce has obviously faced receivers as good as Malik so far, so that's more a test for Malik. And then Deontay Banks, the Giants should be number one corner against Garrett Wilson, will be fascinating. For the Jets, I'm curious honestly, I'm curious how their defensive line does against the Giants. Like, this is the no Hassan Reddick offense defensive line. This is the Will McDonald threw a fancy spin move on last night and got a sack, and everybody's excited about it. That's just one splash play. You got to do it down in, down out. And that's what people are – they're going to miss Quentin Jefferson and John Franklin Myers, guys who did it every play. Everybody's like, oh, they lost Bryce Huff and his 10.5 sacks. Well, Bryce Huff was a specialist. Right now, I think Will McDonald can be a specialist. Who's the every down kind of guy? Can Javon Kinlaw be better than he was in San Francisco, live up to his first-round draft hype? So I think that's a big test for the Jets on both sides of the line of scrimmage is the Giants. Their offensive line, too, because, you know, Giants have one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau are coming at you. Jets offensive line's been killed their season last year. They think it's better this year. Let's see if it holds up against the Giants' defensive front.
Yeah, and especially the Jets have been trying to mix in their first-round draft pick, the rookie Olu Fashanu. They're trying to mix him in as a swing tackle, left tackle, right tackle. So it'll be interesting to see in joint practice or in the game if he gets reps versus any of the Giants' ones.
That's, I think, the best thing they're doing, honestly. I'm glad you hit on that. Like, when they started training camp and their plan was just to make him the backup left tackle, I was like, what are you doing? You cannot... They wasted a first-round pick on McDonald last year, barely playing him. You can't just have Olu Fashanu as your backup left tackle, and if Morgan Moses gets hurt at right tackle, you go to Max Mitchell. That just can't be the plan. You have to develop this guy. He doesn't have to start, but he has to be your swing tackle that's ready when Tyron Smith inevitably missed games or Morgan Moses inevitably misses games. He has to be that number three tackle, and I think the Jets are doing that, and it's Fashanu seems to be progressing at it. So I think that's a good sign of – people always ask me, can Robert Saleh coach? I think that's a good sign of adjusting his plan.
All right, Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post does a great job covering the NFL in our parts. Ryan, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Lori.